Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. I'm going to give my guest, who's calling in another minute or so, and kind of talk about the world of business while we're doing it. For many of us, we're passionate about a product, a service, a technology, an idea, and others just love business. If we can combine our passion with our love of business, or if we can develop a love of being in business, it helps us tell our story. It helps us serve our customers better, quicker, faster, with more authenticity. And the key to growing our businesses is to be authentic, to be able to get our message out there, not just to make a one-time sale, which a lot of people kind of promote that in marketing and business growth, but it's to, have a lifetime relationship with our clients, our customers. And so anytime we're going out to the marketplace to pitch an idea, to try to get an appointment, to meet with someone, to talk to them about our products or our services, or to get them to buy our book, our music, to tune into our radio shows, whatever it is we're doing, funding a mission, the passion and authenticity we have for that mission is critical to our success. And so I know when I get emails soliciting donations, or I get phone calls, or I get cold calls from people, I have to wonder why they think I'm going to be interested in buying from someone that I don't know anything about. I don't know anything about the organization, or I don't know anything about their products. And a lot of those calls, I don't even have the need for what they're calling to sell me. So that tells me they don't even know who I am or my buying patterns or my needs or how my business functions or even what my business does. I love getting emails and cold calls from competitors who are in the same market niche that I'm in. And that goes to show that they're probably wasting their resources. And well, a lot of them won't be my competitors very long if they keep wasting their resources. So what is it we're supposed to do to market our business, to grow our business, to get that sale, to make a relationship with our customers, to build our viability of our business, which we've talked about before and I'll talk about more next week, and to build our credibility with our customers? In today's marketplace, where there are millions, literally and figuratively, of businesses and organizations reaching out to the same people you want to buy from you, it means providing real value. It means selling what the customer is looking for and what they need, providing that solution that's going to save them time or money, or it's going to motivate them to do something different that's going to make their life and their business better. So what does that actually translate to? What is value? Well, to understand that, we actually have to see the world through our customers' eyes. We have to walk in our customers' shoes. We have to walk through the process of understanding what the customer is looking for. Are they ready to buy and they're looking? Or do they know they have a problem and they're thinking about looking? Or are they kind of uncomfortable but not quite ready to admit they have a problem? Or they could just be a lump, a rock sitting there. They have the problem. They have the need. They might be aware about it, but they're not going to do anything. So when we look at the marketplace, if we think of 100% of the people that we could serve, the majority of the businesses are going after about 3% of that marketplace, the people who are actively looking and who are really aware of their need, their problem. But there's a large part of the population that's in that, I'll never buy, I'm not going to do anything. So let's say it's about 30%, roughly. So we have about 30% of the market that is never going to buy, so we don't need to spend our time with them. And we have 3% of the market that everybody is selling to, and they're just getting inundated with all these offers and all this noise, and they're getting cold calls, and they're going to buy. But they're going to buy where they find value. And so we could compete head-to-head, and we often do in our marketing, for those, that 3%. But we have 3% of the market that's actively looking, and we have 30% that's never going to do anything. And that means we have roughly 67% that are in that mode of, I have a problem and I'm vaguely aware of it, or I have a problem and I'm really aware of it, but I don't know what I want to do yet. And so that's 67% of the market. So the question is, why do we target the 3%? Why do we spend time on the 30% when 2/3 of our market, our potential customers, are idle? They're not doing anything because they don't quite know what to do. And guess what? Most businesses aren't knocking on their door. Most organizations seeking funding or donation are not knocking on their door because they're busy going after those 3% active seekers. And so when we're wanting to grow our business, we have to think about 70% of the population, the 3% that's actively looking, and the 67% that know they have a problem. And so we need to think about, why are they not acting? What are their objections? What are their needs? What will make them know us? And how can we start providing value to develop a relationship so that it's not a cold call when we call? And maybe we're not going to have to call if we do our marketing right. They're going to pick up the phone, or they're going to send us an email saying, hey, I saw your marketing. I saw this offer you have out there. I'd like to learn more about that opportunity to be your customer, to buy your product. And so we need to turn around that concept of, we have a product, we have a solution, and we go out and find the customer, and change it around a bit. And we've talked about this on earlier shows. We need to think of the foundation of our business, not in creating a product or a service first and then finding a customer. We need to find the customers and their needs and their problems and their issues, and then design the product, the service, the technology to meet that customer's need. We also want to go through a process that I've always called content or education marketing. And this is where we provide value through communication with prospects, with people who may not know us, but are going to be willing to open that email, that marketing piece of literature we mail in, that come to a speech or a workshop or something to get more information, because there's something in there that resonates with that problem they know they have. And again, whether they're actively seeking to fill, to address that problem, to fill that need, or they're inactive and they're like, well, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my options are. When we're doing education marketing, when we're providing value in our communication to potential customers, then we're showing our good faith, our authenticity, our credibility with potential customers and existing customers. If I send you an email that contains a tip sheet for the 10 ways you can improve your business by redesigning how your accounting system produces reports for you, would you be interested in those 10 points? How about if I told you, if you made these 10 simple changes to your accounting system, the visibility of what your business is doing well will increase your profitability and reduce your costs? So it's all in how we communicate. I'm going to give you something that I know has worked for my customers. And you're going to look at it, and you may try it. And even if you tried one thing out of the 10, and it changed how you did business, and it enabled you to do things faster, that reduced your costs, or enabled to price your products more effectively in the marketplace, what would that do to you? And what would it do for your business? More money, less time, more profit? I'll sign up for that. So when we're designing products and services, when we're thinking about how we want to grow our businesses, when we're thinking about selling products and services, we really need to focus in and concentrate on the customer. See through their eyes. You know, change our glasses. Get something in focus. If they want to see big picture things, communicate in big picture terms. If they want to get into details, provide some details. But think of it as providing value and establishing a relationship, long before they ever buy from you. Education marketing is about establishing the credibility of what you're offering and of who you are and of your solution. And we can do that in many ways. You can do it through newsletters. You can do it through podcasts. You can do it through meet and greets and tours of your facilities or whatever it is your business is in. You can adapt a concept to make a community, to make a connection. And you want to make that long before you're ever going to make a pitch for them to buy from you. I don't like getting the cold call wanting me to buy from them, switch from this vendor to this vendor. Why don't I like it? Because I don't know that person on the other end of the phone. And chances are, they know nothing about me except I was on a list that they bought of companies that were fell in a certain category, or maybe it's just every company in a certain region. It's kind of like going to your mailbox, the traditional snail mail mailbox, and getting all of those flyers that are stuffed full and all that junk mail. There's a reason we call it junk mail. In our email, we call it spam, if we're getting it. But what does the business that's sending it really think it is? They think it's marketing. And so we need to change from thinking it's marketing and see what that unsolicited piece of an offer, or really a hard sales pitch, is coming into the email box. Will they even open it? I know on any given day, with my multiple email addresses, I may get 1,000 emails. And more, it's more like 1,500. And of those, I'd say 10% of them are client-related. Another 10% are association or some group that I'm affiliated-related. So they're not really unsolicited. They're just kind of in that high traffic area, so they're not really spam, but they're not going to be high on my agenda to open them either, like a client's email or a colleague's email. And so what are we really doing when we're just filling people's email boxes up? Yeah, we're saving some trees doing it by email instead of doing it by snail mail, but the effect is the same. Our time, our efforts, our money is not going to connect with the recipient. So again, we need to think about credibility. We need to think about the viability of our business in terms of being able to connect meaningfully with authenticity, with a message with our customer. And just what is that message we want to convey? After this break, we're going to come back and talk about deciding what is that message that we want to convey. And we'll be right back. Focus Resources provides expert advice on business growth, startup, and all issues related to operating, growing, and running a business. You can find out more about our underwriter, Focus Resources, by going to their website, focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com.
Throughout our past, we have lifted the lamp of liberty and invited the world to bask in the glow of our freedom. Now, we face unseen enemies who would gladly give their lives to ensure that no one sees our light again. And there are enemies within who would extinguish the light of God's freedom if they could. What will become of this land we love so much?
Lady Liberty has held her light and beckoned souls to come. Many sins have found their way to freedom's shores. But in latter days, some fear her torch may fade from view. And America will shine no But as long as there are people who believe in God we trust, who will cry out for His grace to fall today, He promises to hear from heaven if we humbly pray, forsake our sin, and turn to Him.
before that short break, we were talking about how do we create credibility with our customers and how do we put a message together that resonates with those customers. And in today's systems and today's tools and the way we do things, most customers want to know who is communicating with them. They want to know that that person is talking to them one-on-one, that it's not the same message to everyone. And while we can't always talk one-on-one in our marketing with everybody, we don't have 1,000 hours in a day, we can make sure our messaging, our communication is about each customer and connecting with that customer by understanding what our message needs to contain to acknowledge what matters to those customers. And how do we do that? Well, if I write you an email and it's one-on-one, it's me to you, and we can talk about what's important to your business, that isn't me saying we, our, they, them. It's me writing to you and saying, hey, Bill, hey, Karen, this is what is going on in your business, and this is what I hear you're having problems with. And while each of us would like to think we're the only ones having the same kind of problems, in reality, in building our business, there's some pretty consistent factors there. We may struggle with knowing what's working and what's not. We don't have that accounting tracking quite down to where it needs to be. Or we may not understand which of our customers are actually generating our profits. We may not even know why our customers buy from us. And so what we need to do is start a conversation. And that conversation may not be emailing another or one person calling another. But it can be some tools that we use that are going to enable us to know what matters to our customers. We can do it through a Facebook page. We can do it through our websites. We can do it through survey tools. There are a vast array of things that we can use that can help us connect and get feedback from potential customers as to what they're struggling with. And the challenge is to get that feedback before we build a product. And okay, you're going to say, wait a minute, I manufacture this big product, or I do accounting services, or you know, I own a gas station or a grocery store, and you're wanting me. Well, we can adapt each of these concepts for each business. Could you put a survey on your receipt if you're a grocery store and ask for feedback? Give them 2 or 3 questions there. Give them some incentive of a coupon if they complete the survey. Or if you're a coffee shop, can you ask them questions, one question when they come up to the cash register? Can you give them a card to fill out or an online website to go to answer a survey? We see these things happening with larger corporations. You'll go to Staples and you'll get a survey. You'll go to a Kroger and you'll get a survey. But as small businesses, we frequently overlook our ability to do the same thing at a fairly low cost or even no cost. We can use some online survey tools for small quantities of respondents at no cost. We can build in with apps and other add-ons in our websites a way to do short surveys there too. But what we're looking for is to know our customer and what their pain points are, so that when we email them, and even if it's the mass email, we have points in that that are acknowledging what they're dealing with. So whether they're in that 3% that know they have that problem, they're actively looking for the solution, or we have an issue of them knowing they have the problem, but they're not looking, or we're challenged by them being vaguely aware that they have the problem. When we know what people have as their pain points, when we know what they think is their top 2 or 3 issues in dealing with that problem, or the benefits if they would have that problem solved, then we have a way to connect. A colleague of mine, I've said it before, likens it to having Velcro. So we're getting that part of the Velcro on their brain that's going to make what we're saying stick. And how are we doing that? It's by honing the message so that it acknowledges their pain points. It acknowledges that they're struggling with a lack of information or a lack of knowledge of what's working in their organization or a lack of customers, of paying customers, or they might be struggling with collecting their payments from their customers. There's any number of things that can be going on in a business. And if we understand who we're trying to sell our products to and what we're capable of helping them solve, then we can authentically care about that and communicate that. And we can also start by providing value about those talking points, about those pain points, before we ever ask them to do business with us. So let's say you're having problems collecting payments from your customers. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to address that? Well, I can send you an email and say, 7 tips on improving your accounts receivable collection. Try just one and improve your collection rate. Reduce your outstanding balances. Improve your cash flow. Try all 7 and revolutionize your accounts receivable process. And while those are generic terms, and I would get into more specifics in a true email, what if I did a series of emails that talked about qualifying your customer and checking out their background before you give them credit? And maybe if I'm a financial services firm, I want to talk to them about the differences in different types of financial service providers and advisors, a fee-based one versus a commissioned base, a large firm versus a one-man firm. If I'm talking to foundations about managing their financial donations, their escrow accounts, they're going to want to know they can trust me, that I know what I'm doing. And as a financial advisor, I'd want to build that case. And I would do that by building my credibility, by giving them actionable, valuable information for free. Okay, I always say this too, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And that's true. There's always some kind of cost to that. Ultimately, the cost I want the prospects to have is to do business with me. But I don't mind giving away some free content to build my credibility, to build that relationship, to let them know that I actually know how to help them, and to reduce that uncertainty, that risk, to get them to say, okay, I really need to take action, and I think Lee knows what she's doing, and so let me reach out to Lee. And in doing so, we have created something that's called reciprocity. When we give things away, people like to give things back. And while I may reach out to a prospect that doesn't have that problem in their business, let's say they are fine, they're current on all their accounts receivable, but if I'm reaching out to them and they know one of their friends in their networking group, somebody at church, someone at their club has been talking about not being able to collect their payments from their customers, then they might forward that email to that other person, a person that I didn't know existed, that wasn't in my sphere. And that person may be one of those 3% that's looking. And they might be that other 64% that's aware and haven't started looking. But what happens when someone gives them my email, my educational marketing piece? It adds additional credibility. Here's someone they know giving them information they can act on from someone that apparently knows what they're talking about. Otherwise, this person that they know wouldn't risk their reputation in providing that information to them. And so again, you're notching up your credibility another degree. And so that email that has made its way into someone else's hands, into someone else's inbox, now enables us to get to know each other. They might opt in to sign up to my newsletter to get more information on these types of things. They'll visit my website to look to see if there's any more tip sheets on how to improve your accounts receivable turnover, how to have more working capital. And then they'll see an article on how to improve your accounting system. And so that person, from one piece of marketing literature, that cared about the customer, that provided value, that established authenticity, all of that came through to enable us to start building relationships, to make connections. And we start having that effect. I think it was a book or a story called something like 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon or something, probably a century ago. But it starts making us realize that when we reach one person or a prospect in our customer that's aware, in our customer base or our prospect base, then that can spread out. We don't know who each person we're touching knows and what they're aware of someone else struggling with that business. And so we want to be able to be thought of as a credible resource, whether we're a mom and pop grocery store, a gas station, an accounting business, a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, or a major corporation. The rule is still the same. People buy from us because they think we're credible. They think we can actually help solve their problem. And so we need to be aware of that and walk in their shoes and see the world and our products and our abilities, our services, our technology through their eyes so we can create a product that meets their needs. Again, it's not necessarily what we're wanting to sell. It's making sure we're addressing the problem and saying, we're here, we know what we're doing, and we've worked with other people just like you, and we've helped their businesses. We've improved their health. Again, whatever business you're in, the same thing holds true. If we can market our businesses and our products and our services and ourselves to establish credibility, that we are an expert, that we know what we're talking about our products. Again, whether it's the gas station, the grocery store, or mega gigantic business, credibility is what makes a customer do business with us. And we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to WCOM FM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I stand. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back.
You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And I've got a couple of PSAs to share, public service announcements. And the Orange County Arts Commission announces its final push for raffle ticket sales. I have not been drinking. I just can't get my words out today. To benefit the arts and education grants, raffle tickets are for items of high-quality wooden products of the Helping Kids program. It's a partnership between the Chapel Hill Wood Turners Club and the Woodshop students at Cedar Ridge High. Items include wooden plates and bowls, an ice cream scoop, and small Lazy Susans. And 100% of the proceeds from these items will go toward the Arts and Education Grant funding by the Orange County Arts Commission. So you can go to the Orange County Arts Commission office, room 216, to get tickets. You can also call 919-968-2011 to make sure they're going to be there so that you can get your raffle tickets. Our other announcement today is about WCOM, your community radio station. We are funded 100% by our listeners and our underwriters, and we are having a fundraiser November 5th from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Hickory Tavern located inside the Hampton Inn at 370 East Main Street in Carrboro. This fundraiser will go to support this station, and how can you help? Come in and eat and drop your ticket, your food ticket, in a designated container, and 10% of the proceeds will be given to WCOM, a nonprofit, all-volunteer community radio station serving Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and the greater community by our online internet streaming capability. The event includes great raffle prizes from area businesses and the opportunity for our listeners and our hosts to get together and talk about what's happening. Our theme is a harvest of community radio in keeping with the time of year. And if you would like to sponsor, be an underwriter, you can call 919-675-2787. And you can also get more information from Art Minius at art@artminius.com. So either email or give him a call. And again, that's November 5th. That's a week from Thursday, 5 to 10 p.m. at the Hickory Tavern. Come by, meet the host, tell us what you like, tell us what you'd like to hear. And we would be so appreciative of you supporting the station. And so before the break, we were talking about authenticity and education marketing and connecting with the customer. And we can do that, surprisingly or not so surprisingly, with digital products. And I love the fact that in this day and age, we don't just have to do an email or a PDF file or a document. And those are great. But we have so much opportunity to connect and meet face-to-face and by using videos, by using webinars. People jogging like to listen to audio podcasts. So what are you doing in your business that you could make a podcast of? And people think, oh, wait a minute, I can't make a podcast. I don't have this tool or that tool. A lot of people are using their smartphones. You've got a camera. You've got a microphone built in. You can use your laptops. There is so much technology that are there at our fingertips that we're frequently afraid to use because we think it has to be professionally produced. And yeah, you know, if you're going to charge people for videos and things of that nature, professionally produced is better. But when we're marketing, when we're connecting with our prospects, it's more important to be authentic. So it doesn't have to be, you know, perfectly produced, perfectly scripted with all the soundtracks and all the special effects. It's great if you can do it. But it's more important to be able to pick up your computer, pop up and record a video that's about something you're passionate about. Maybe you're a grocery store and you get this really great wooden product in from a local vendor and you want to talk about why you've chosen to use your limited space in your store to have this vendor's product in, this artisan's product in. And maybe you even want to have him or her get in on the video with you. And so the people not only meet you, but they meet your vendors, your suppliers, and they get to know why you're passionate about your business. And the more people know you, the more they feel they know you, the more they know what you know and who you know, the more connected they feel and the more stake they have in your business and in your success, and the more that they really are comfortable in knowing that you care about their business. It's not just about that one-time sale. It's about a lifetime relationship. So in my business, I'm a consultant in my day job, and I always tell my clients with what I'm doing, my job is to teach them to do their business to the best of their ability, to give them tools in their toolbox, to teach them how to use those tools, and to enable them to do their business their way better. And in doing so, to do myself out of a job. And that sounds crazy. A consultant that doesn't want to be there 24/7 for the rest of their life and getting a check? No. I am successful when I enable my clients to do business to their best of their ability, successfully, profitably. Or if I'm working with a nonprofit, that they can serve the most people, that they can get their message out, that they can raise funds. And let's call it, let's say my job as a consultant is to help them magnify their mission, whatever that is. And that means enabling them to build into their business the processes and the systems and the structures that mean if I'm not there tomorrow, they're still able to do what I came in to teach them to do. Whether that's redesigning their accounting system and teaching them to read their financial statements and know what's working and what's not, or if it's teaching them how to educate their prospects, how to grow their business by developing, let's call them digital products, podcasts, emails, PDFs, communication tools that enable them to reach out to prospects and current customers and provide value to them. And that process, whether it's compliance, audit requirements, trying to raise money, whatever it is, businesses tend to cycle through the same types of things over and over, different times, different needs. And I want my customers calling me back when they have something new they have to deal with. I want what I teach them to do and what I work with them to do to work for them. And I love nothing more than getting a referral from a satisfied customer and getting a call from a prospect saying, so-and-so referred me because you did such a great job helping them get new customers, or revamping their accounting system so that they knew how to generate more profits, or help them get funding. And it's those kind of calls and knowing that I have the credibility, my business is more viable because I have those testimonials and I have those that marketing system in place of satisfied customers that connect with other people that are they're going to meet that I will never meet unless they call me. I can't meet every person in the world, darn it. I can't reach all 300 bazillion of us on the world with the messages that I have. But if I'm doing my business right, if I'm doing my education marketing, if my message is on point, if I know who I'm talking to, and I'm trying to reach more than that 3% of my market that's aware and looking, I'm going for 67% of the market that is aware that they have an issue and maybe not actively looking. But I'm looking for them and they're looking for me and I'm establishing a relationship by what I provide them before they ever become a customer. At one time, I generated 4 newsletters a month with 7 original articles in them every month. And I had a subscriber list to most of those of like 25,000 people or so. And that was a powerful platform. Every month, people were calling because they'd gotten the newsletter or someone had sent that newsletter over. And when they called, they knew I knew what I was talking about. They'd read the articles. They'd seen the case studies. They'd seen the work that had been done. And so they were comfortable knowing I had the knowledge to help them. And they weren't going to be wasting their time or getting disappointed with the process. Now, I can't say every customer has always been satisfied with the process, because something else that we have to think about in our messaging is making sure that that 67% of the people we're going after, we might need to narrow that down a little bit more. Because we're not going to be the right fit for every customer. And the customers I'm not the right fit for are the ones who don't really want to change, or they don't want to work on their business. And I mean work. Roll up your sleeves and do something differently. Is it Einstein or someone that says insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting the same results? So in going into businesses, I'm going to say especially small businesses, and they're struggling, we're looking to see what's not working. And if a customer that I'm working with can't describe their best customer, their ideal customer, if they don't know why people have chosen to do business with them, if they're low profile, so low profile that you can't even find them on the internet unless you type in their domain name, if there's nothing out there for people to know them about, let's put it that way. So if there's nothing there to build the credibility, to build their visibility, if they don't have content out in the marketplace, then they become a faceless, nameless commodity that people are not going to stop on. It's like looking through the Yellow Pages. Does everyone remember what the Yellow Pages are? The phone book. I don't know about you, but I don't open the phone book anymore. I go online. But if you think back to the old days, when once a year we got a printed copy of people in business that had telephones, essentially. And they had ads in the Yellow Pages, some of them, or some of them were just a listing. And you would go to try to decide what plumber you were going to call. you might look at an ad and that might pull you in to call that one. Or you might just go alphabetically. There were, you know, or you just might randomly look down at the page and there was one and you start dialing that number. The thing about the Yellow Pages, and no offense to AT&T and YP.com and all that kind of stuff, but in the old days, people's ads pretty much could have been the same ad for every plumber. You could just switch the names around and they sound the same. And that doesn't work. You have to stand out. Commodities do not command a value price. Commodities don't have people knocking at their door to buy from them. And so why does someone want to do business with you? It's that value message. It's demonstrating that you understand them, that you see their problem from their perspective, that you know what their pain is. They don't have enough customers. They don't have enough cash. They don't have enough profit. They don't have enough donors to support their nonprofit cause. They have donors, but they can't find enough people to serve that have the problems or reach them. There's something that they're disconnected from their mission. And in growing our businesses and doing what we're wanting to do, in magnifying our missions, we have to have systems and processes and authenticity and an ability to reach out and prove that we know what we're doing. We're credible and we're capable. And that means once we've just demonstrated credibility and our capability to serve, then we can also know that we are going to be a sustainable, viable business. Because as long as we understand our customers and we understand what their needs are, and we're reaching out to fill those needs, then they're going to come in the door. You're going to get the referral from the satisfied client. You're going to get the recommendation about your product from a current user. You're going to get great comments on your Facebook page. You're going to see somebody tweet out something that's wonderful. They're going to be on Pinterest or they're going to be on Instagram. They're going to be taking a picture and sharing it on their social media. They're going to be raving about what you did for their business. They're going to be raving about your car, your accounting services, your dental services. Every business can have raving fans. You don't have to be a football team or another athletic team. Maybe I should have said baseball since I think the World Series is starting tonight. You just have to connect. And I'd say just, because that connecting is the hardest thing any of us do in this day and age. I was talking about having thousands of emails hit my inbox, 80% of which I will never open. And I don't have the time to continually go in and opt out. And when I'm getting spammed and inundated with all these marketing messages that do nothing for me but try to sell something to me, and I don't know who you are, so I would never buy from you. On the other hand, if I'm looking at a product or I'm doing an internet search and I go out and I see a free tip sheet, I can download a PDF of how to make the decision about an accounting system. Or I can download the 15 biggest mistakes online marketers make. Or how about the 5 biggest legal mistakes small businesses make? Those are the type of things that add value that I want to read. And so I'm going to go out and I might opt in for those. I might opt out later if they're not really valuable. But I start to get to know these companies by that information that they're putting out there that matters to me. I want to know about mistakes I could make in my business or legal changes that are coming up in, say, Fair Labor Standards Act that could impact my business or my clients' businesses. So it's all in making the connection, in making the message. It's all in looking at our businesses, our products, from the customer's perspective. If a customer comes in and you're a bakery and you only make cupcakes and they want to order a cheesecake, then there's been a miscommunication. And so that customer, potential customer, walks out and will never buy your cupcakes because she was confused because she wanted a cheesecake. Now, if you had a clear sign that says, we do cupcakes, 100% cupcakes, you had some kind of thing there, you might have a cheesecake cupcake. I don't know. But the idea is to make sure that everyone knows who you are and what you do. And as importantly, what you don't do. Because if people want to knock on your door to do business, then, or that's figuratively the electronic, online, or the actual physical door, then you want them to know who they're going to be doing business with. And once they've knocked on the door, they've walked through the door, they've reached out to you by phone or email, you know you've got a starting point. And then you need to knock it out of the park and hit a home run in communicating more value to them and understanding why they've come in the door and what they're looking for. And again, that's a mistake we make. We might be so anxious to close a sale that we drive the potential sale away by not listening first to what that customer, that potential customer, is saying and what they're looking for. So we always need to be aware of the needs that the customer has and work through those. And we need to take them through this process of connection, of value being given, of building a relationship. And that doesn't end after they become our customer. The majority of our sales will typically come from existing customers. So a customer for life is a customer that needs to be cared about after the sale. They still want to get tips. They still want to have value added to their business. They don't want to be dropped when the job is done or the product is bought. So always remember to care for your customers as you go through the process. And if you build up the excitement, if you've got the big signs outside your door and you're saying, walk in and buy from me, make sure the door's not locked when you're supposed to be open. I'll give an example. This week I went to a local store and I was going to buy from them. And their hours were 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday. It's Monday. In fact, this happened just yesterday. And so I knocked up to their retail establishment and I went to open the door. And the door was locked. And I looked at the sign and said, yes, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7. It was 11 o'clock. They were supposed to be open. The lights are on. I knock on the door. No one comes. I'm thinking, this is strange. The lights are on and nobody's home. So I knocked again. Finally, someone came to the door. And this was a service-based business. And I said, are you not open? She says, no, we're not open. I said, but your hours are 10 to 7. Well, nobody wants to do business right now. And I'm thinking, did she just say nobody wants to do business right now? You're open. Your hours are 10 to 7. You have the lights on. The rent bill is coming due. The electric is on. You're incurring these costs. You have this huge sign. And you say, walk-ins, welcome. We'll help you. And your door is locked. Your lights are on, and you're telling me, oh, we don't want to do business with you right now. Oh, but if you'd like to make an appointment, please come back. You want me to come back to make an appointment? Or you want to make the appointment now for me to come back? Oh, come back and make an appointment if you want to do business with us. Are your hours going to be 10 to 7 that day? Yeah. Well, will you want to do business with me that day? Because I'm here right now to do business. Well, we're not prepared to do business. But these are your store hours. No, I'm not really dumb. And I wasn't confused. I was trying to make a point that they just lost my sale. I will never walk back through those doors, knock on their door, or attempt to do business with them. Why? Because all their messaging, all of their efforts, them being in a prime location when I had time to do the business with them, and their lack of interest in doing business with me right then, let me know something about that business. They didn't know me as a customer. They wanted to sell what they wanted to sell when they wanted to sell it. Even, well, when they didn't want to sell it. They were in business, the lights were on, hundreds of dollars being spent every moment to keep that business lights on and operating with employees in there, but they weren't prepared to do business. Now, if it was a startup, okay, I'm going to say, yeah, if they were just getting ready and there might have been some glitch, maybe they had an issue with a piece of equipment. No, they've been in business a number of months. Everything looks golden and glowing and new and shiny and full of employees, but no one wanted my business. What was the point of going into business if you're not open in the hours you say? if you're not responsive to the customer. If at the point in time the customer shows up, you're not only saying, you don't matter, and, well, come back when we're ready to do business. And you're saying, well, you have to do business on our terms when we're ready. Not necessarily when our hours say. What does that say about that business? It says they have their priorities wrong. It also tells me that early next year, if I go by their business, they're likely not going to be in business. Because a business that doesn't understand its customers, that isn't doing business when they say they're going to do business, that locks the door on the customer, that says, come back another time to make an appointment to come back another time, doesn't have their priorities, their systems, their processes, their focus, their employees doing the things that are going to keep them in business. They have lost all credibility. They have demonstrated they're not capable of serving me as a customer. And while I have Velcro in the brain, because I have that pain, that need, I want that service, I also know there's probably several hundred other businesses in our area that do the exact same thing as that business with the locked door, with the uncaring owner, employee, team, operations. And so all of their marketing, all of their effort to connect is for naught, because they will not get a dollar of my money in their business. They will not get a referral. And quite frankly, my friends will find out that they're not that reliable either. And so the doors will eventually close because they're not authentic. They don't care about the prospect or the customer coming through the door. And that is the death knell for a business. And so if you want your business to be viable, you need to find your customers and care about them. Know what's important to them, the problem they need solved. You need to see problems and opportunities through their eyes. You need to transform your ability to help them into a story that resonates with them, that acknowledges who they are, their issues, what they need to do, that solves them time, solves their time crunch, that saves them money, that makes them more money, that enables them to serve more people, that enables them to, well, magnify their mission and be more successful. And that means making the connection with the right tools, the right messages, and building a relationship long before you ever want to make a sale. And this is Lee Strickland, and you've been listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And everyone, until next week, stay focused on the important things.